Welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Thank you, Debbie. There was one of the screenshots there in that song that we just sang that I really loved it. I wish I could pull it up here to read it again because it just spoke to me so greatly. Thank you for that song. Two things that should not surprise you by my being here today. First of all, I am really nervous. I don't understand it. I told Isaac, Pastor Isaac, I have to differentiate here. And by the way, we're not mad at each other, but Ramona was just kind of afraid that if Isaac stood here, he would block the view for a lot of different people. But anyway, I feel like I'm about to get sick, but just so nervous to be here today, and I'll tell you more about that in just a moment, but I can also tell you that, and this won't surprise you either, I'll probably get emotional. Today is a day that I have both looked forward to and dreaded ever since June 10th of last year, because I knew there was going to come a day when I would likely be asked to fill in here again. And I asked everyone that was, all the folks that do this kind of thing, I don't want to be here, I don't want to fill in for a year. I want to give you a little time to adjust. I wanted to give Isaac time to get established and all those kinds of things. And I think all those things have happened. But you've likely heard me say that leaving the way that I did in the midst of a pandemic with a good chunk of the congregation not able to be here for that last day, it was hard. It was hard to leave without a proper goodbye. And it just was not like I had pictured in any way, and I kind of feel like we never got closure. And maybe this will help today. I hope it does. We just finished another year of Vacation Bible School. I've been associated with Vacation Bible School as an adult ever since the early 1980s. And there were a lot of years in there I didn't do anything necessarily, but I've been associated with it. And this one, I think, was just spectacular. If you weren't involved, I wish we could just redo the week so you could take the option to do that. But the theme was awesome. The lessons were tremendous. The kids that Ramona and I had, fifth and sixth graders, were among the best I've ever dealt with. The crafts, the music, the recreation, the food, all of it was wonderful. And the missions was really great because Isaac did it right out here. And I've never seen the church decorated so beautifully for VBS as it was this time. It was just incredible. But I just loved the energy that Isaac brought to the missions. It must be good to be 26, huh? But when Isaac first asked me to do this, my first thought was, well, I've got to pray about a passage to use. And what I used to do when I was the pastor here was that after Bible school and a week of being immersed in the theme, I would preach on the theme. And that's what I felt led to do here today. I know Vacation Bible School is designed for children, but I've always believed that the messages and the lessons have great application for us as adults as well, which is why I usually preached from the theme verses. It's why I used to always do like a 5-week Bible study on Wednesday nights on the same topics that the students would be looking at. I asked Hannah to make me a slide for the top 10 favorite Bible verses. Is that available? Okay. And you gave me the whole thing. That's not it. That's the verses for the message. Anyway, one of the things that I thought about is that one of the theme verses that we had was so very, very close to one that I've heard people say before. It was one of my favorite verses. This is number 10, be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4:6. This is number 9, Romans 12:2. I should have had these written down so I'd have them in front of me. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Number 8, Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Number 7, also from Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Number 6, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Number 5, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. 4, and we know that all things work together for good, from Romans 8:28. Number 3, or is it 2? I thought that was number 2. Anyway, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, and this is part of the message today. And then the number 1 favorite verse is John 3:16. Now, I don't think a lot of those would surprise you, and if I would have asked you ahead of time to write down your favorite verse or just give me the reference for it, my guess is that most of you would have been included in these 10 that we've just done. You know that my favorite verse wasn't there. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. But the reason I wanted to do that is because so many people have favorite verses. And a lot of times, when we just pluck out the verse all by itself, it kind of loses the complete meaning. And the verse that comes from today's message is one of those, from Jeremiah 29:11. And we'll be talking about that as we go through this. But I just knew that the verse that we use for VBS, the one that Travis has so eloquently recited for us, I didn't think that one would make the list. But I knew that the one real close to it, Jeremiah 29:11, would. So what we're going to do this morning is dig deeper, like we've been doing all week at VBS, to find out what the context of that particular verse truly is. So I'm going to read the verses first. I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's Word. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 14, reads like this. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. There's another great promise. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to this place from which I cause you to be carried away captive. I've had people tell me that one of the things that they miss is having Ramona pray, so appreciate that. One of the things that I think we often forget, or that we simply just don't know, is the number 2 favorite verse, and I'm not sure who made that list, by the way, I just found it online, but the number 2 favorite verse, Jeremiah 29:11. One of the things we forget is what was going on when God made that promise to his people. When he said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, I know the plans I have for you, and so on. So I want to give you just a little bit of a background to this. In Jeremiah, from chapter 1 up to chapter 29, where we're at here, everything leading up to that point was about the rebellion of God's people against God and against his teachings. And I struggle with that, always have. When you read the Bible and you see all the wonderful, amazing, incredible things that God has done and how quickly his people turn their backs on him. And every time I get amazed by that, God says, look around you, look within you, if you're amazed by that, because it's still going on. There's still rebellion against God. There's still rebellion against his teachings. The first several chapters of Jeremiah are about the sins of Judah and Jerusalem and about a call to repentance. Chapters 4 through 6 of Jeremiah talk about the imminent destruction of the people of Israel and about the danger of following false gods and false prophets. Now, most of us would say today, well, we don't follow false gods, we don't follow false prophets. We make up our own gods. We do. And the things that we place as a priority become our God. And we have done the same thing. And then finally, after multiple warnings from God, through his prophet Jeremiah, God allowed the people to be conquered by one of their perennial enemies, which was Babylon. Now, Babylon is located in what is present-day Iraq. And so for us today, it would be very much like saying, repent, or I'm going to allow Iraq to conquer you. And you are going to be sentenced to 70 years of exile in Iraq. I would think that would wake us up. But it didn't then. Doesn't appear to now. I talked about some of this in a Bible study that I did on Wednesday night a few weeks ago. So if you're one of the 25 or so that were here for that, you've probably heard this before. But I want you to think about 70 years. I'm getting close, not there yet, but 70 years ago was 1951. And some of you remember that, but that was before I was born. 70 years ago, Harry Truman was the president. 70 years ago, the Korean War was 1 year old, still had two more years to go. 70 years ago, I Love Lucy was still in the future. That puts it in perspective, I hope, a little bit about how 70 years is a long time. Now, 70 years from now will be the year 2091. 70 years is a long time, but it's just a drop in the bucket of eternity. Jeff kind of mentioned this in the Sunday school opening, but most of the generation that went into exile, into Babylon, most of them would not come out of it. Very much like those who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years after the parting of the Red Sea and all the other miracles that they'd seen in Egypt, and then they quickly turned away. In fact, this is very much like that, the 40 years in the wilderness, because all of the people from the generation that had caused the problem were gone before they walked into the promised land, all but two of them. Likewise, all of the people who caused the problem that led to this exile would likely be gone before their return to Israel. So that's the context for the verses that I read to you earlier. So let's look at verse 10 once again. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. After 70 years are completed. And one of the things that I hope you see in this is God does not say, okay, if you repent, I won't make you go through the trial. He says, you've still got to go through the trial of 70 years. Think about trials that you and I have gone through. And for us here, maybe the best example is COVID. Almost exactly 2 years ago today, in July of 2019, absolutely no one had ever heard of COVID-19. COVID existed. The coronavirus existed, but not that particular strain that's known as 19. Nobody had ever heard of it 2 years ago. It may have existed, but until December of 2019, nobody really knew what it was. Now think about how long it seems that we've gone through that trial. How long we had to wear masks, how long we've had to go through shutdowns and so on and so forth. It was a big deal. But it's been 18 months. It's not been 70 years. God is a loving God, and he is a forgiving God. Praise God that he is. But he's also a God of wrath. And I think we forget that sometimes too. He had warned his people over and over and over again, if you don't repent, this is going to happen. But they ignored him. And now here in verse 10, before he tells them the wonderful things that come in the next few verses, he reminds his people, and as always, I believe that includes you and I still love you, but you have got to go through the trial to make the lesson sink in before he will cause us to return to this place. Now, let me be quick to say, I'm not telling you that COVID is a punishment from God. I'm not telling you that it's not. I don't know. I'm just telling you that whatever it is that we're going through, we may have to go through it to learn the lesson. I'm just trying to make a comparison here between what was going on in Jeremiah and what goes on with us today. God said here that he would visit them. He would perform good toward them, but they were still going to have to wait 70 years. The application here for you and me is this. God said he would visit them, that he would perform good toward them. He would never leave them, even in the midst of this incredible trial. I will never leave you or forsake you. Another one of the promises we can stand on. Deuteronomy 31:8, which I didn't give to the ladies, but it says, "And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you, and he will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Wow. Even in the midst of our greatest trial, he will not leave you or forsake you. You still have to go through the difficulties, but he'll be there with you. Something else we need to see here is that God has a purpose for the difficulties. I'm not, again, saying that he creates these things necessarily, but like Romans 8:28 said, one of the top 10 verses, he can use these things for good. Verses 11 and 12. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Now, verse 11, I've seen that on more graduation cards and written on more graduation books that you sign when you go into the receptions and that kind of stuff than any other verse. And I guess that's okay, because it's true. God does know the thoughts that he has toward us. He does plan peace, not evil, for us. We do a very good job of planning plenty of evil for ourselves. God does not do that. But he does desire to give us a future, and he provided hope for us in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, through the birth and the life and the death and the resurrection of his son. But there's still that 70 years to contend with, and that's why that verse has always kind of troubled me, because it just makes it sound like I'm going to give you a future and a hope and all's going to be hunky-dory. But it was given to people who had 70 years of exile to go through. I know it's difficult, but I really pray that you and I can remember this. God said 70 years. The people had the job of accepting that and then seeing what they could learn from it. Because the promise here is not that we won't go through trials, but that he will be there with us through them. And that at the end, he still gives us hope. We need to call upon him and pray to him and listen for him. And that's a tremendous promise in the midst of any trial, whether it's 70 hours or 70 years. Now, the theme verse for VBS is verse 13. And again, I just like to see it in context, because he said in verse 13, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Again, Israel had been disobedient not just once, not just for a day, but it had been long term. God had warned them to repent, and they chose not to. This resulted in an exile to a hostile place. And again, to put this into context with stories from Scripture that you already know, among the people who were exiled for 70 years were Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. We know those names. We know those stories. Daniel in the lion's den, the other three in the fiery furnace. And we know that Daniel, our open windows devotional, is named because he kept his windows open and prayed to the Lord even when it was against the law. So we know that those guys were there. But do you realize 70 years? I don't know how old they were when they went into it, but let's say they were 15 because they were young men. By the end of this, they'll be 85. More than likely, those four men I just mentioned to you did not come out of the exile. God's purpose in this was this verse, that people would dig deeper, would search for him and find him, search with him for him with all their hearts. That's what the purpose was. And again, I'm not claiming that God sends calamities our way so that we will seek and find him. But here's the deal. Calamities do come our way. Would you agree with that? We've all gone through difficulties. And while we're in the midst of them and you're looking at the king of this, do we just complain about it? Or do we seek God in the midst of it? And that's really what we should be doing. That's one of the greatest promises. You will find him if you search for him with all your hearts. Now, there's a lot of different things that we search for with all our hearts. We search for the lowest interest rates on our home loan. We search for the lowest price and the best service on our internet provider. We search for all kinds of different things like that with all of our hearts. But sometimes it takes a calamity to cause us to seek God with all of our hearts. And the promise is this: we will find him. Isn't that glorious? The theme of Vacation Bible School was Destination Dig, and the idea was to seek Jesus and find truth. And the lessons used Old Testament verses from Isaiah and Micah and the Psalms for examples that then pointed to the truth that Jesus fulfilled. The scriptures in the Old Testament said that he would be born of a virgin. He was. They said he would be born in Bethlehem. He was. They said he would be betrayed and beaten and crucified. And he was. And they also said that he would be resurrected. And he was. All of these things were written hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. And yet they read like today's paper. It's just incredible. Here comes another promise from this passage in verse 14. He said, "I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you to the place from which I cause you to be carried away captive." Still going to carry you away captive, but he will bring you back. Now, I know this sounds like an ancient promise to an ancient people, and it doesn't have much application to us today, but let's look at it from a 2021 perspective. Folks, he will be found by you. And what it says here is, one way or another, every single person on this earth is going to find the Lord, and let me explain that. Either while we are still living on this earth, we will find him, accept him, and choose to follow him, or we're going to find him when we leave this earth. And what I mean by that is you're going to meet him face to face. Every single one of us will meet him face to face. And he will welcome those who accepted him here on this earth into his eternal heaven. But for those who did not, for those who are sitting here today and have never done that, if you die before doing that, you're going to find the Lord, and he's going to say to you, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." Not, well, I knew you that little moment back in Bible school, but now I forgot you. No, he'll say, I never knew you. Never. And I want you to know this. Sitting here in this place for an hour every Sunday is a great thing, but that by itself will not get you into heaven. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. He then said, I will bring you back from your captivity. Now, obviously, this had application for the Hebrew exiles. After the 70 years are complete, you get to come home. Maybe your descendants will get to come home if you don't make it through. But for the 2021 application, I want you to hear this. If you seek him and find him, he's going to bring you back from your captivity. How are we captive? We're captive to sin. Until we accept Jesus, we are absolutely slaves to sin. Truly, we are. It controls your past, it controls your present, and it certainly controls your eternal future. But when we accept Jesus, we're no longer held captive to sin. Now, I always throw this in. I want to make sure you understand. That doesn't mean we'll never sin again. We do. My guess is every one of you have sinned at least once today. Well, thought we wouldn't be captive to it. You're not, because your eternal destiny is no longer bound to your sin. You're free from that sin. And here's the best part of verse 14. God says he will gather from all nations and all places. He's going to bring us back from the places where he caused us to be carried away. And for the people of Israel, that meant that they got to go back home. But for you and me, it means that the very creation of God that Adam and Eve experienced in the Garden of Eden, from which they and therefore we were carried away, we get to go back to paradise. He will gather us and bring us back to that wonderful place called heaven. And I got to promise you this, there are days in my life when the thought that heaven awaits me is the only thing that gets me through a particular day. I don't have a lot of those, but there's times when I just think, Lord, I'm ready to just get out of here and be with you. It's hard for me to comprehend that there are people who, despite the warnings, choose to try to get through on their own power. Just remember this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Because for each one of us, there's coming a day when it will no longer be an option. And we don't know when that is. It's been a difficult situation for a lot of you, I know, because once again, we've had a young person whose life has been lost in our community. And it's just one of those things that, you know, we think we're all going to be given 70 years or 80 years. And when we get to be 70, I can't imagine, you know, that it's hard to imagine then that we just think it's over. It's not. But the thing of it is, we don't know when God's going to call us home. And I know I used to hit on this a lot, but this could be the last opportunity that you have to seek him with all your heart. And if you've never done that, I pray that when we have the time of invitation, you will choose God, seek him, find him. He's there and he's waiting for you. Let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to stand before this wonderful congregation once again. I just thank you, Lord, for this church and all that it means to me, and I know many, many other people. But God, I really pray that the message sinks into our hearts. Seek me and find me. Look for you with all of our hearts, Lord, that we might have that salvation that's promised to us. I pray, God, that if there be one here or 10 here or many here who've never done that, that this would be the day. Don't put it off. I just pray, God, that people would see the importance of knowing you, following you, serving you. Lord, I just pray for our mission team, away from us here today, and yet doing the work that you've called them to do. I pray that you'd bless their time together and just bring them back to us, Lord, safely. I thank you so much for the opportunities you give us to serve in things like VBS, and help us, God, to seek ways to serve you, but more than anything else, just to seek and find you. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.